This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Happy summer solstice. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and you are listening to Audra McDonald singing the classic Summertime by the Gershwin Brothers. And regular listeners to Free Thought Radio know that they were non-believers.
George and Ira Gershwin. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. Today is the summer solstice, June 21st, 2014, broadcast of Free Thought Radio. And this week we were summer was preceded by a lot of wet weather and tornadoes. So we're looking forward to some real summer here. Why is it, by the way, that an act of God is always something bad? Have you ever thought of that? So the tornadoes did some damage, but there were no lives lost thanks to nature. And Free Thought Radio, this show originally broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin, where the national headquarters of the Freedom From Religion Foundation are located. You may also be listening to us broadcast on stations in College Station, Texas, in Columbia, Missouri, in Grand Rapids, or in Monterey, or in the Ithaca, New York area. Free Thought Radio streams through iHeartRadio, and then our show becomes a podcast through Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, distributed through most podcast providers like iTunes. And it's also an archive at our webpage at ffrf.org/news/radio.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of FFRF, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we're the nation's largest association of freethinkers, atheists, and agnostics, and we're a state church watchdog.
Today, we're going to talk with constitutional attorney Liz Cavell, who's one of the five lawyers at the Freedom From Religion Foundation who are working tirelessly to keep state and church separate.
If you've ever contacted FFRF, excuse me, about a state church violation, or if you will in the future, Liz is most likely the person you will talk with first. The FFRF receives thousands of complaints each year about the separation of religion and government, pleas for help from individuals, and Liz will tell us how these queries are handled and how many of them result in victories without FFRF even having to go to court, and some of them do turn into court battles.
We'll talk with Liz in the second half of today's show. In the news, the Supreme Court this week declined to hear an appeal of a very good Seventh Circuit decision regarding the use of churches for public school graduations.
For years, I had worked with one of our members in Elmbrook, which is a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where his children were having to graduate from a megachurch with crosses and all the religious paraphernalia, and we got nowhere. I did everything I could. We didn't have any attorneys on staff. And so I'm pleased to report that Americans United worked with plaintiff, took this case up to the Seventh Circuit, which voted against them, said it was okay. And they appealed and they asked for an en banc ruling where the entire panel looked at the case, and the Seventh Circuit ruled that it was too much religion. It was unconstitutional to force students to graduate from a megachurch or from a church in any kind of church venue. It was a very good decision.
It was 7-3, the whole panel.
And so then Elmbrook School District appealed to the Seventh Circuit or to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court this week would not take the case, which means it lets stand this very strong victory, and it creates precedent throughout the Seventh Circuit, and we hope throughout the country, against this very common violation.
And the religious right is really angry about this. They think they have some privilege. Churches are just a part of the government. And we non-believers who feel uncomfortable walking under a cross in a church to get our diplomas, we can just lump it, is what they think. Well, the Supreme Court disagreed. There is real injury there.
Parents and children sat in pews filled with Bibles and hymnals, scribble cards for God's little lambs, church promotional cards, asking if they wanted to know how to become a Christian, the lobby filled with evangelical pamphlets and postings, many of them aimed at children and teens. So very good decision this week, a non-decision, non-action by the Supreme Court. And of course, we are waiting and waiting for the most important decision of the season, which is the Hobby Lobby case before the Supreme Court, in which an evangelist who runs a for-profit crafty store, Hobby Lobby chain, is seeking to deny his women workers the right to choose their own form of contraception, challenging Affordable Care Act's preventive care requirement that employers who offer insurance must offer contraceptive insurance for women. And this is a nail biter. So
that decision could come down this next week.
Well, it has to come down by the 30th. And we do hope that if the decision comes down wrong, the secular community will have an outcry, and we'll have a lot of work ahead of us, but we'll see what happens.
We'll talk about that regardless of the decision. And we want to remind you, we're having our glorious 4th in Alabama this year at Lake Hypatia, which is near Talladega, Alabama, the Freedom from Religion Foundation's Southern Outpost. The Alabama Freethought Association hosts an annual glorious 4th. They don't call it a retreat. They call it an advance down there. It's a property on a lake.
FFRF has its second Freethought Hall near Lake Hypatia, which is near Talladega. And Pat Cleveland is director of our chapter, and they put on this annual event. Usually people from around the country show up, although it's geared to Southern freethinkers. It's in the shade of the Talladega National Forest and a very relaxing weekend.
Camping and softball and volleyball.
You and I will be there.
And
FFRF staff attorney Andrew Seidel, who's done a lot of good work in Alabama over state church violations. Jerry DeWitt,
a Southern preacher who's now an atheist. Jerry DeWitt from Louisiana. He'll be there.
Janet Heimlich, an author against religious abuse of children, and lots of other recreational events.
Come and hang out with us. There's even a Free Thought Jeopardy. Test your knowledge about Free Thought Trivia.
So if you want information, go to the events section, the link at FFRF.org. And then we do have this weekend, two of our attorneys, Rebecca Markard and Patrick Elliott, are at the Secular Student Alliance gathering in Phoenix. And there's going to be another one in Ohio where two of our other attorneys will be going. And we'll talk a little bit more about that with Liz Cavell on the second half of Freethought Radio when we interview our intake attorney. And so what's up coming up next?
Well, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Freethought celebrities. And then in the second half of the show, we'll be talking with Liz Cavell, who's one of the five attorneys at the Freedom from Religion Foundation, who mainly does intake, but she does an awful lot of other duties, helping you listeners when you feel there's a violation of state church separation. What can you do about it? Well, she'll tell you exactly what you can. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we're co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope that not someday, but today, you'll join FFRF at FFRF.org. It's a $40 individual membership, $50 household deductible for income tax purposes. And you help us in our work, our very important work for separation of church and state and promoting free thought, reason, and the Enlightenment.
We do hope today you will join us. Today, by the way, June the 21st is the summer solstice. And today happens to be the birthday of the British author Ian McEwan, who often very proudly states that he's an atheist. He was born in 1948. Ian McEwan's books have won many awards, including his book Atonement, which was made into a critically acclaimed movie starring Keira Knightley.
And Keira Knightley is also an atheist, and you can find the source for that in her own quotes about this at FFRF.org's Free Thought of the Day. If you look to on the news link, you can find thousands of prominent atheists and agnostics listed.
Well, then she was well cast. Ian McEwan, who is a fellow in the Royal Society of Literature and the Royal Society of Arts and the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, as well as a distinguished supporter of the British Humanist Association, said in an interview with the New York Times Magazine, talking about the Keira Knightley character, Brioni, is that how you say her name, in the Atonement movie, he said, "Yes, I'm an atheist, and probably Brioni is too. Atheists have as much conscience, possibly more, than people with deep religious conviction, and they still have the same problem of how they reconcile themselves to a bad deed in the past. It's a little easier if you've got a God to forgive you."
Dan, I have to correct you. Brioni is not the Keira Knightley character. That's the little girl character.
Oh, it is. The little girl, the little sister?
And she's the one who does something bad and then doesn't forgive herself.
Well, then it makes sense that her older sister might also be an atheist.
It could be.
All right.
In an interview in the New York Republic, McEwan stated that he's an atheist. "I don't really believe for a moment that our moral sense comes from a God. The little spark that we do have becomes all the more valuable when you can't be trading off any moments for eternity."
Ian McEwan was interviewed by Richard Dawkins for the UK Channel 4 series on religion called The Root of All Evil.
Have you always been an atheist, or did you sort of have a religion at one time in your life?
Well, my parents both came from Protestant sort of Church of England, Church of Scotland backgrounds, but they weren't devout in any sense. My interest in science got in the way all the time, actually. I couldn't sustain a proper religious worldview.
So what are your beliefs now?
Well, I guess my starting point would be that the brain is responsible for consciousness, and that even though we know very little yet about how that is made for us, this inward cinema, we could be reasonably sure that when that brain ceases to be, when it falls apart and decomposes, that'll be the end of us. From that, quite a lot of things follow, I think, especially morally. We are the very privileged owners of a brief spark of consciousness. It probably came about by accident. It is a wonderful gift. There is nowhere else. There is no one else up there. This is our only time. And we therefore have to take responsibility for it, responsibility for ourselves, and responsibility for other people. In other words, I think an atheistic worldview puts considerable constraints on you. You cannot rely, as Christians or Muslims do, on a world elsewhere, a paradise to which one can work towards and maybe make sacrifices, and crucially make sacrifices of other people. When people believe there's this utopia to be gained, then it's perfectly rational to slaughter millions to get there in order for the rest of mankind to be happy forever. So I think that there is an important moral center to believing that this is it, this is all we've got, this life, and we should make it the best we can for others and ourselves.
That's author Ian McEwan talking with Richard Dawkins. And this week is also the birthday of another prominent atheist.
Who would that be?
Well, that would be you, Dan. And your birthday is June 25th, 1949, so you know what that means. You're turning.
Uh-oh.
Well, let people do their own math.
Do the math. I also share that birthday with some truly famous atheists, George Orwell was born in 1903, and Ricky Gervais, born in 1961.
Now, Dan, you've written about your story from Preacher to Atheist in Losing Faith in Faith, a book published by FFRF, and then Godless, also available from FFRF.org, tells your story. But I know you're dying to play a song that you have written that has significance for you with your religious background.
Well, yes, I wrote a song back in the 1980s, right after coming out of the ministry. The song's called Freedom from Religion, which we've never played on this show before because I'm not so much enamored of that earlier style I used to write in. I wanted to try writing something in the style of the Christian rock of at the time, in the 1980s. And maybe it was successful, but it's a bit of a cliche borrowed from the kind of worship services of the day. But the lyrics written in the 1990s do express some of those real emotions that I was feeling when I realized that I was truly free to think for myself.
And what's very nice is you dedicated the song to the principal founder of FFRF, Ann Nicole Gaylor, my mother. And so I guess we should listen to it.
The freedom of religion. Some people say is all the founding fathers meant. But there can be no freedom, no freedom at all, without the freedom to dissent. Freedom from religion is freedom from fear. It's the liberty to think just as I please. I wouldn't trade it for anything, not for streets of gold or the praise of a king. I know why the wild bird sings. To rid the world of bondage, of body and mind, there is no greater thing to do. When freedom is in flower, it's plain to see that the one who clears the weeds is just as much a gardener, is just as in need as the one who plants the seeds. Freedom from religion is freedom from fear. It's the liberty to think just as I please. I wouldn't trade it for anything, not for streets of gold or the praise of a king. I know why the wild bird sings. To rid the world of bondage, of body and mind, there is no greater thing to do. Not for streets of gold or the praise of a king. I know why the wild bird sings. rid the world of bondage, of body and mind. There is no greater thing to do.
Well, that does sound like we should be taking up an offering.
Well, what do you expect from a former preacher?
And that's Dan's song, Freedom from Religion, available on FFRF's double CD with about 32 songs, Friendly Neighborhood Atheist. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned for our interview with Liz Cavell, constitutional attorney, about keeping state and church separate. This is Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we have in studio with us one of FFRF's five staff attorneys, Liz Cavell. It's high time we had you here. And Liz is FFRF's new intake attorney. Actually, you've been working for us as intake attorneys since when, Liz?
Since January of 2013.
So you are getting a pretty good grounding in the problems that citizens face with entanglements between religion and government.
That's right.
And so before we talk about intake and all these problems, can you tell us a little bit about your background? What interested you in going into law, and where are you from and all that stuff?
Sure. I am from Florida, actually. I grew up in Florida. I went to college at the University of Florida, and I went to law school at Tulane University. Yes, I went to Tulane University Law School, and that was in New Orleans. You know, I basically went to law school to pursue a career in the public sector, to really fight for minority rights. And, you know, I was a bleeding heart law student, just like many people. And after law school, I became a public defender. I worked in the state of Colorado as a deputy public defender my first couple years out of law school, and then eventually made my way to Madison, Wisconsin. And my next job after that was working at the Freedom from Religion Foundation.
And for full disclosure, we should say you and Andrew Seidel are a married couple.
We are. Andrew Seidel is another staff attorney. His hire at Freedom from Religion is what moved us to Madison. About a year after that, one of FFRF's staff attorneys left to take another job in town. And so I was hired to replace her. And that was, at the time, the fourth staff attorney position. Since then, we've grown to a fifth staff attorney, to five staff attorneys, and so now there's currently five of us, and
Sam,
I'm not the low man on the totem pole anymore.
Well, do you think it can work for a married couple to work in the same organization?
Little joke.
I don't know, Dan and Annie Laurie. I would say, as I'm sure you guys have found, it's really great. It's really fun to be working towards the same mission and working together on the same types of issues and sort of experiencing the ups and downs together.
I remember when I met Andrew in Denver for the first time, you couldn't come. We had breakfast. And he said, no, she's arguing about 26 cases today in the Colorado court or something. You were really busy back then.
I was very busy. It was my first job out of law school. And as a public defender, obviously, I had a very heavy caseload. And so a lot like FFRF, we're definitely overburdened, but it's great fun. I guess I have a thing for going against the government.
I bet you people are picturing that you have this sort of elaborate attorney's office. You know, you're working. If people could see your actual office right now, we're in the process of expanding.
They'd know why we need to expand. You want to explain your humble abode? Or?
Sure. I work in a lovely corner of the Free Thought Library, which is just absolutely teeming and overflowing with piles of books. We do have bookshelves too, and they're every inch is covered with books. I work in a corner of that office, and our fifth staff attorney, Sam Grover, works in the opposite corner of that office, and in between our corners, a couple of interns are usually sitting in toilet.
Yeah, we just prop some desks in the middle of the library. And
so you know. It's a very cozy home.
Yes.
But it's going to improve after this end of this year.
So, and then we do have, what is it, three interns, legal interns this summer?
Yes, we do. We have three legal interns for the summer. Two of them are working full time. And so it's great. We have lots of eager student help. And it's really a great help to our five staff attorneys who are quite overburdened.
And what is your background religiously?
I was sort of raised Catholic, like many Catholics, in a not very pious Catholic household. But I did sort of participate in all of the rituals of being a Catholic. I was confirmed Catholic and took my first Holy Communion and all the rest. And my folks, I would say, are still Catholic, just like most Catholics. They would identify as Catholic, but they don't really attend church and they don't really follow Catholic doctrine.
Nominal.
Sure. And I just sort of grew away from it, and it wasn't much to grow away from as I became more educated and did more reading on the subject of sort of religion and atheism and God belief. And so it was an easy drop.
So let's talk about this whole intake process. If somebody has a state church violation or a potential violation, they think we might be able to do something about and they wanted to contact FFRF, what's the process?
Right. So the legal department at FFRF handles state church violations from anyone, members of the public and our own members of FFRF. They contact us with what they think might be potential state church violations through our website, by email, through our web form. They call us up on the phone. Sometimes they even send us snail mail. Anyone can send in a complaint. And that information goes directly to me. I handle intake. That's one of my major responsibilities in the legal department. So that information comes to me and I give it a first look. Or if you call on the phone, you probably have talked to me. Usually we have some resources for information for people that have a complaint. We have great FAQs on our website at ffrf.org.
Go to the legal link.
Legal tab. State Church FAQ is the name of the tab under legal. If you go there, the legal department has set out lots of resources for people who have a common violation, something that we see a lot and something that might be a great candidate for some local activism that you can engage in on your own.
Like nativity scenes and city prayer and school graduations.
Right. Prayer in school, certain civil violations, voting in a church, blue laws, lots of school violations that would be really commonplace. Churches renting schools for weekend services and stuff like that.
And you told me you get thousands each year.
We do get thousands each year. The past couple of years, we've gotten between 2,000 and 3,000 incoming complaints in the legal department. So it was up last year to about 2,500, and we're outpacing that this year, so we'll probably be there and beyond. So we do receive a lot of incoming.
Yeah, it's very heavy. Now, some of these are sometimes there's something in the news and they're duplicates.
Quite right.
But still, you're handling all of them, and they're getting some sort of response.
Yep, we're sifting through a lot of potential violations, and many of them we can't help with. Many of them can get help from our FAQ and. A small but significant portion of them our legal department takes action on. And so that's how our state church complaints, letters of complaint, go out from our legal department.
So when someone fills out the form, that I should say there is a form to report a state church violation at this link on under legal at ffrf.org.
That's right.
Then it comes to you, and then you respond with some sort of at least temporary you know, I've referred this on to an attorney, or you'll be hearing back from us, or we can't help you. Is that the kind of thing?
Quite right. Usually you'll indicate whether or not you're seeking action from FFRF or if you're just forwarding something for our own information. If you are seeking action, that will get reviewed by at least me and usually another attorney. And we'll respond to you if we need more information or if there's a reason why we can't take action or if we have some resources on our website that might be helpful. And of course, if we do take action, you'll hear from us.
So yeah, sometimes you'll send the draft to someone to approve, and sometimes people don't care. They just want it to go out, but they all get a copy.
That's right.
Then of the letter that goes out and updates on what happens.
That's right. Our complainants get a copy when we send out a letter on behalf or based on one of their complaints. And then, of course, we keep them posted.
And it's often a slow process waiting for that response.
Yes, quite a slow process. Only slightly faster than the speed of litigation, probably. It does take, you know, we are almost always corresponding with government entities, so cities, school districts, that sort of thing. So things get handled pretty slowly. It's usually working its way through a bureaucracy. So we run them down for an answer.
Yeah, because sometimes as many as 3 follow-up letters do go out on it, and you have a regular schedule to send those out.
That's right. Yep. Oftentimes it takes a follow-up for us to run down a response, and so that's what we do.
And Liz, don't you often find that they may have stopped the violation and just failed to tell us?
Quite right. They're not so eager to trumpet our successes as we are, but we do find out about a lot of stopped violations that we didn't know about.
I want to talk to you after the break about some of the people you talked to on the phone. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're talking with FFRF constitutional attorney Liz Cavell, who mainly handles intake at the Freedom from Religion Foundation, working to keep state and church separate. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our conversation with Liz Cavell, constitutional attorney at the Freedom from Religion Foundation, who does many things there, but primarily handles the initial intake from people who call in with complaints. I wanted to ask you, Liz, you talk with people on the phone. Are the people excited or nervous, or do they want to say who they are, or are they afraid? Or what are the people like when you actually talk to them?
Well, Dan, obviously we get a lot of contacts and it kind of runs the gamut. We hear from people who are really outspoken. You know, they consider themselves the village atheist in their town or community. And they're sending us complaints left and right from their town. They're really acting as their village watchdog. And then we hear from many, many complainants, as you would imagine, who are quite nervous, quite afraid to make any kind of complaint on their own. Sometimes they're even unwilling to identify themselves to us.
Although we do ask for that.
We do, and it helps us to have our complainants' full information. Of course, Freedom from Religion protects the anonymity of our complainants and members, so
right.
There is no worry or risk of us identifying
right.
our complainants, even in our letters. But yeah, we hear from lots of people who are understandably very nervous about making any waves.
So they might want to complain, but they're glad that we can do it for them.
Exactly. That's what we're here for. And we're the buffer, and we complain on behalf of FFRF. We don't name our complainants. And so if you have something going on in your town and you're really afraid or you just can't speak up, call us.
or fill out
go
the
to
form.
Our website more appropriately.
Yeah,
go to our website, fill out a web form. You can give us all of the information that we need there. And it's very self-explanatory. And you click send, and that goes right to my email, sitting right there at my desk. And I'll see it, you know, that week, and somebody can evaluate it.
So we wanted to talk about one of your specialties. You know, you're so busy with intake that we have to be careful not to pile on too many other assignments. But one of your specialties is civil rights complaints, which is a little different than the state church.
That's right. Most people know that our legal department handles establishment clause based violations, conduct that might violate the First Amendment of the Constitution. The one complaint that we handle that is not grounded in constitutional law is our civil rights complaints. And that usually takes the shape of some sort of discount or promotion in a place of public accommodation that's on the basis of religion. So the basis for these complaints is the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which says that businesses, places of public accommodation cannot discriminate on certain bases. One of those is religion. And so this most commonly comes in the form of a church bulletin discount, usually at restaurants, but sometimes at other public places that give discounts, 10% or a free drink or something like that. If you bring in a church bulletin on Sunday or a church bulletin that shows you went to church on Sunday.
Or like Festa Italia or German Fest, those things too, right?
That's right.
They did in Wisconsin.
That's right. It's not always, it's often restaurants, but it's not always. And it's not only restaurants that are prohibited by the Civil Rights Act. It's any place of public accommodations, which basically includes any sort of business that is open to the public for any kind of services or amusements or events. That includes festivals. So we've seen this discriminatory discount at a few festivals.
We've seen them at grocery stores. We've seen them at amusement parks.
Amusement parks, water parks. I recently baseball. Wrote one. Sure. Yeah. Baseball stadiums. I recently wrote one to a purveyor of rides, carnival rides, who was offering this discount for the purpose of buying a bracelet to ride carnival rides. So
if you go to church, you get a discount. Then.
Basically, that's how we interpret the church bulletin discount. Yeah. It rewards church attendance.
So, Liz, what's wrong with that? And what do we do about it?
Right. So what's wrong with that is, as I just sort of started to say, is that it's a discount that you can redeem by attending worship services. So in our minds, that's a discount based on religion, a discount based on church attendance. And so religion is explicitly named in the Civil Rights Act as one of the grounds on which you can't discriminate. So we complain and we this is an issue area that I handle in the legal department. So I send a lot of these letters to restaurant owners, business owners, and let them know that they are in violation of federal law and oftentimes state law. There are laws in every state except for five states that so basically
are those
mirror
in the South.
Yeah, they're the usual suspects, I'm afraid. Let's see, off the top of my head, Texas, I know, Georgia.
North Carolina.
I think Alabama. I'm sorry.
It's up in our FAQ.
Accusing.
You can find it.
Wrongly. It's up there. Five southern states don't have state civil rights laws on the books, but every other state does. And so oftentimes these businesses are violating state law and they don't realize it.
And also, you know, in Madison, Wisconsin, where we are, the city and the county also have adopted equal rights protections.
Right.
So there's often even more local.
That's right. There are often several layers of protection depending on where you are. It's been in the news lately. There have been a lot of city ordinances adopted to expand
gay rights,
anti-discrimination right. policies to sexual orientation on that basis. And so, yep, a lot of times there are city ordinances as well that are being covered.
So I always say that there's nothing more important than defending the First Amendment, but I have to say I feel equally passionate about the need to protect the Civil Rights Act when it's violated just to discriminate against atheists. That's really harming the whole protection. I mean, we all know what happened in the segregation and the civil rights and how important it is that you should not be denied services. You know, like if you go into a grocery store and they'd say, well, I'm not going to serve you because you are an atheist, or a pharmacy would deny you medicine because you're black or whatever. This seems to me terribly important.
Exactly. And I think it's something that everybody can recognize the harm of. And you're seeing this in the news a lot recently in the context of discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation with wedding cake bakers and wedding photographers refusing to do business with gay couples where there are these ordinances on the books that cover sexual orientation. Unfortunately, the Federal Civil Rights Act is not one of them yet, but there are many places that do prohibit that type of discrimination. So this is pretty timely, and I think everyone recognizes that discrimination is wrong. And so we work...
Almost everybody, just not Hobby Lobby.
Yes, and I guess I should say almost everybody. But I do think, you know, popularly, it's easy for people to see the harm. And so it speaks to our FFRF's purpose to really educate the public about non-theists and discrimination against non-theists.
What if an atheist walks into the restaurant with a copy of our newspaper claiming that they should get the discount too.
Well, sometimes that is the accommodation that's been made.
That's right. Sometimes that is what the business claims will be honored, and we have our members go ahead and test that and make sure that it works. And we have had members get a discount using Free Thought Today as their sort of bulletin, community bulletin.
It should be available to everyone, or
right, or but they have to modify their advertising so that it doesn't say church bulletin in that case.
Correct.
They do modify it.
And it has to be on the basis of something other than religion. I mean, it's hard to make business owners understand that distinction when they give discounts for lots of reasons, but religion can't really be one of them.
One of our earliest cases on this, far preceding having staff attorneys, was a Madison grocery store that gave a gallon of free milk, which is a major you know, benefit, to those who came in with a church bulletin from the owner's church, Catholic church.
And I went in and I saw that it had a coupon on the church bulletin. Bring this into the store and you'll get it.
At that time, we had to hire an attorney to, and there was a whole series of letters. It took all spring to finally clear this up. So you run into some recalcitrant people.
That's right.
Thank you, Liz Cavell. Liz Cavell is a staff attorney at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, handling intake and civil rights complaints.
Thank you so much. Great being here.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you, Dave McCann, for another great job of producing and engineering. If you want to know more about our show, go to ffrf.org/news/radio.
For more information, go to ffrf.org, join us, or phone 1-800-335-4021. Ask for a sample of our newspaper, Free Thought Today. Check out our website and tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday